Dr. Randy here from Intentional Living. I start the show today with a disclaimer. We're going to be talking about how to declutter your life, and I'm sitting here in my studio office. And I'm glad we're not on the Zoom call today, because there's a lot of clutter. I have to admit, I wrestle with, so I know it's such an important part, because whenever I take the effort to declutter not only the stuff, but my mental clutter and, you know, schedule clutter and other things that can clutter my life, man, I feel more free, I'm focused, and helps me be more intentional. So today, we're going to hear some stories of people who've chosen to hopefully to be decluttering their life, how they've done it, what they've learned in the process. So while our phone calls are already set, the phone line can still be open to you. In fact, it is right now. We've had friends calling us the last few days during this sheer month to say we want to be a part of Intentional Living. We want to be a part of making a difference. We want to bring the ministry to more people. We want to help people be reached for Christ. And I just say thank you for your support. So you can call right now, 888-888-1717. Talk to one of our operators. Say, I want to be a part of the Intentional Living community. We have the Intentional Word Chronological Bible for those joining in monthly support, $1 a day for the ministry, those increasing support monthly. Check it out and come and join us. Go to theintentionallife.com. All right. Let's get started with Andrea, who maybe you heard on our last declutter program that we aired a few months back. Take a listen.
We have this clutter that seems to magically appear and reoccurs on all of its own, I tell you. It's the computer desk in the living room. No matter how many times we declutter it, take off the bills and the newspapers and the cool stuff the kids made at school, it seems to just magically reappear and reclutter that desk, and we cannot seem to organize it.
So where does it go in between the time it's there and not there?
Some of it gets thrown away. Some of it gets filed elsewhere. Sometimes I just take brown paper bags and put the kids' schoolwork in those just until I can figure out what else to do with it.
How many children do you have, Andrea?
We have two.
Well, they're a blessing from the Lord, and they bring joy and clutter into our lives.
They do bring joy and clutter, and I can somehow keep their bedroom and their toys clean and decluttered, but I cannot seem to keep the computer desk in the living room the same way.
Now, are you one of those people, though, that just everything has to be neat all the time?
No, I'm not neat all the time, although I do like to have things organized and in order the best that I can, but life gets in the way. It's just what happens.
Yeah, you and my wife would get along.
I bet we would.
And it's good. You know, we need to have one person in every family who's concerned about this to keep the clutter mess down. But I think with kids, hey, listen, they're always bringing clutter in from home. I mean, from school
they
or
are.
Whatever.
Yeah. And I guess my question is, what do you do when all those brown paper bags full of all the kids' artwork and schoolwork finally become a giant pile of them, but you don't want to throw them away, but you certainly don't want to become a hoarder of brown paper bags full of kids' stuff?
I'm chuckling. When I had a chance to talk to Andrea, you can hear in her voice, she's just, you know, she got brown paper bags everywhere. And you can collect all these things that these precious kids and grandkids make, and what do you do with them? Well, it's just part of the question of clutter, I suppose. You're welcome to join in with your comments, 888-888-1717. And hopefully as we talk about this, we can get into the deeper, more serious forms of clutter that we really need to deal with in life as well. Let's go to Jeanette in Michigan, who's up first. Jeanette, welcome to the program.
Thank you so very much.
Appreciate it. How do you deal with clutter?
Well, I was listening to her call, and her concern, I could hear the stress in her voice.
Mm.
But when my children were small, I had three children, and they brought papers home, artwork, maybe they passed a spelling bee, a math test, from kindergarten through high school. I always kept a room in the living room. I had one wall where I'd place their things. All the papers that they did well on, that they came in the house and said, I got an A on this, so look how well I did. Look at this artwork. So I put it in a column for the three of them.
Mm-hmm. How long did you leave it up, though?
I leave them up 2 weeks to a month because they always bring home something else.
So then it would go, that would be disposed of and it would be replaced with the new stuff.
I never disposed of it.
So you had boxes, you had bags, you kept these things.
No, I went and bought those little picture albums, you know, that you can put pictures in.
Yeah.
And that's what each one had their own, and that's what I put the pictures in.
So you put them in albums, so you got a bunch of albums now of the kids when they were...
Yeah, take it to their room. That was to be stored away.
Huh.
But I never put it in, I never put them in bags or anything, because to me, when they come in from school to say, they're excited, and they say, look at this. And I said, that is fantastic.
Yeah.
But if I took it and tucked it away, to me, it didn't mean, it wasn't sincere.
Yeah.
So I just put them on the wall, and I remember my mom coming to visit once, and she said, why? She looked at everything. She said, oh, man, these are beautiful. But why do you have them on the wall in the living room? And I said, huh, where else would I put them?
That's a good point. Hey, Jeanette, thank you for your call. Moving on here, Jeff, next in Arizona. How about clutter in your life? You have clutter?
I do. Hey, Dr. Randy, good to talk to you. Thanks for what you're doing. I really enjoyed the show.
Thank you. Appreciate it.
What I was going to tell you was my wife and I moved recently from Tucson to Albuquerque, and we were on one of our trips. We listened to a book on tape about decluttering, and we both kind of got on the same sheet. And this took months. It was very mindful, and it was very thoughtful, and it was actually difficult. But we unloaded truckloads, and that is not an exaggeration. Truckloads, garage loads. I mean, we came here. Our closets have very few clothes.
Mm.
The children have very few toys. I know where everything is in the house. We live in a little tiny house. I know where everything is in the garage, and it's uncluttered. And seems like once we uncleared that area, not only did it bring us closer together as a couple, it was a lot like when we attended Financial Peace University and got together about our finances. That drew us together.
I mean, how about your kids? How do they feel about the decluttering project?
You know what? I'm a full-time stay-at-home now to a 4 and 6-year-old. I'm retired, and they don't seem to mind, although they bring home a lot of stuff from school. Some of it gets displayed. Most of it just moves, you know, directly into the recycle. If it's something that's really unusual, then we hang on to it. But for the most part, my wife and I talk about how simple our life is.
Yeah. Now, how is your life different today? Simple, but in other ways, how has this made your life better or different?
You know, I just think it just makes us more mindful. You know, we're regular church attenders. I just think it's made us feel lighter and happier. And for me, you know, when I walk into the house and I'm the one that maintains it, it just doesn't take me a lot of time, and it's organized. And it kind of produces a lightness, somewhat of a joy, I would say. But it's been good for us. And now that we've done it, we continue to do it. And
it's good.
I don't know how we did it before. So,
well, when you talk about truck, you must have had a lot of stuff that went off site.
Oh my gosh, no! There were family heirlooms. I mean, I had a roll top desk that was my dad's, a 1920s vintage. Just things that had been around, followed. And I found a great place in Tucson. Mm. I actually donated it to Ben's Bells in Tucson.
Yeah,
a storage place that it fit in. So I found very mindful, heartfelt places to donate lots of big stuff, and then all the rest of the small stuff, it just went. And you realize once you do that, you just don't need much. It's just interesting. I know where everything is in the house. I can tell you what's in every cabinet, every box, every drawer. It's just it's great.
Yeah, and you know, I got some people listening. They have shivers going up their spine with the thought of heirlooms and other things being given. And of course, every family is going to be different. But I will tell you this: there's a point where it's all going to be gone. And you know, I think about after my mom passed away. My dad had passed away several years earlier. And my mom collected a lot of stuff. She was very good before her death to say, what do you want? What don't you want? Get rid of anything. Don't feel like you have to keep stuff. And so she labeled the things that we said we wanted, a few little things. I don't have much, but a few little things. But you saw all these little things, and you realize as you pack them up and give them to others that they were meaningful for her, but at the same time, there was so much, so many things. And that's why I was talking to my wife the other day. We were just discussing, like you, Jeff, to get to a place of saying, hey, can we simplify our lives? There's things that just can go. Because I do think that the clutter that we hang on to, even though we got it organized perhaps even in the garage or whatever, it takes a part of your mind. You're thinking about this stuff because it's there. And so being able to decide what's important, what's not important, and simplify is an important thing to do. Okay, Jeff, appreciate your call. We're talking about clutter in particular, not only stuff, but mental clutter. And I think Beth and Patricia want to weigh in on this topic as well. We'll go to Beth in a moment. Hang on. We'll be right back.
You know, that box of electronics is a radio.
No, it's not.
No, I mean that stuff can connect you to stuff you really need.
Okay, totally confused.
For example, that tablet, put the Intentional Living app on there, boom. Works for smartphones too, or that mouse. Just use it to connect the computer or laptop to theintentionallife.com.
And Intentional Living has the stuff I need?
You can hear the programs again. Get connected, grow your faith.
Okay, I'll plug in the mouse again. You download the app on these 5 devices.
Paul just gave us the 3 steps for our lives here. He says we got to be prepared, we got to resist, and then we got to put on the full armor of God. Amen? If we do those 3 things, I can almost guarantee you that the threats are going to still come, because I don't care how many times we go to church, care how many times we pray, how godly we are, Satan is still coming after you and me. In fact, maybe even more so. And when we put the preparation in place, we're better prepared to win the battle.
That's absolutely true. And as I say in the teaching, when we resist, he's got to flee from us. And so it's a daily thing. When you think about it, life is very daily. We have to be reminded every day. If we're going to choose to be kind, we have to choose to be kind every day. If we choose to walk close to Christ, be intentional in our walk with him, that's a daily decision. Intentional living is very daily. In fact, I tell people at my conferences, it's how daily life can be that can be so exhausting sometimes. And so we're reminding ourselves today that we have to declutter our lives so we can stay focused on the right things. And of course, the threats that come into our life, as I teach in this lesson, often are a result of having too much clutter in our life, things that are holding us back and down and getting us unfocused and distracted from the things that matter most. And so again, your personal threat assessment is the lesson this month. Members, you've received it by now. We're near the end of the month, kind of a last call for those of you who would like to receive this. Your ongoing monthly support is appreciated. And we're doing something special just right now this month during this share month for those who are joining Intentional Living and monthly support. If you could join us, we don't set an amount, but we'd say for those who can join us, $1 a day, we appreciate it. We want to send you the Intentional Word Chronological Bible to say thank you for your support, along with the teaching, both audio and video. We'll email that to you. All you have to do is give us a call right now. The phones are being held for that purpose. As you call 888-888-1717, or you can go online to theintentionallife.com. Click on that little donate icon. All the information is there for you. And I just want to say in advance, I'll be watching for your report to show up on the screen here and be able to say thank you for your support.
This is Intentional Living with your host, Dr. Randy Carlson. Intentional Living is furnished by Parent Talk Incorporated and is made possible by the generous support of our listeners just like you. This program is not a substitute for professional counseling, medical, financial, or legal advice. Intentional Living is not intended to be therapy by radio, but it is intended to help you live an intentional life in Jesus Christ.
Okay, we started with clutter. One of the 4 steps in the intentional life process, first of all, declare your intention. Be clear about that intention. Setting the goal for it and then decluttering your life is a step. And how do you do that? Because so often we think of only the clutter of stuff, but clutter can go beyond that. Beth is in Georgia. Beth, welcome to Intentional Living.
Thank you, Dr. Randy. How are you today?
I'm doing well. Thank you. Do you wrestle with physical as well as other kinds of clutter?
I wrestle with physical clutter immensely.
Uh-huh.
Huge problem in my life. But I've noticed lately that I really wrestle with mental clutter as well. I have recognized, due to monitoring my time on social media, that I spend a lot of time, a lot of quality time I'm losing by being on a social media platform.
Yeah.
And sometimes that social media platform might have a marketplace, and I'm buying things that I don't need to, you know, help out on the physical clutter problem as well. But I started recognizing that I'm just spending too much time, too many things coming into my mind that aren't necessary. They benefit me in no way. And I set out to, someone brings up a topic, and I'm just not sure what the Bible has to say about it. Apps are so convenient. Your Bible app is right, you know, right on the same screen as your social media. I just hit that Bible app and I start looking for ways or looking for answers that I can know and have and hold in my heart. And replacing the, you know, non-efficient or not good clutter with things that will help me grow.
Yeah. Well, Beth, that's wise. I mean, we are to redeem the time. And I think of the psalmist in Psalm 90, where he says to us that we are to number our days. We could even bring that down to let's number our hours. You know, number our days that we can have a heart after wisdom. And today, with so much available to us when it comes to technology, and we can be so easily distracted by entertainment that is mindless. Come on, we all do it. It's easy to just fade out. You're tired. You've had a busy day. It's easy just to fade out and just be entertained. And some of that's not always bad, but the fact is that if we don't use the time we've been given, that can become clutter to us. Clutter can come in entertainment. There could be a lot of clutter just seeking entertainment in our life. There can be clutter when it comes to what we read, the things that we fill our minds with. Sometimes it can be sort of mindless. And these things can bog us down and keep us from really experiencing God's best. I believe that. Okay, Beth, thank you for your call from Georgia today, and I'm glad you're listening.
Thank you.
All right, let's move on to Patricia. She has a practical suggestion from Michigan. Patricia, welcome to Intentional Living.
Hello, Dr. Randy.
Well, appreciate your call. Go right ahead.
Organization. I was an elementary art teacher. I'm now retired. So there was...
Oh, so you were the one generating, helping them generate all this stuff they bring home, huh?
Yeah. But I was constantly having to organize the art room. So I'm almost OCD because of it. But with my children, I kept these big scrapbooking accordion files for each year of school, preschool, first grade, second grade. And it went right into the grade file.
Huh.
Now they're adults, and they get to go through it and, you know, whatever they want to do with it. So I kept it organized.
What did they do with it?
They kept it. One did. The other one's not that sentimental. She's like, throws stuff away. But my one oldest daughter, she's 30 now, she kept it. She still has it.
Interesting.
It's all organized in that file.
So you would take an accordion file for each year?
Yep. And it was so filled, I could hardly close it. But it was a big leather scrapbooking accordion file.
Yeah. You know, it's interesting. When I was talking about my parents, when my mother passed away, she'd collected a lot of stuff. I mean, just little things, stuff. Precious moments. Remember Precious Moments stuff? You know, that kind of stuff. And God love her. I don't know how she dusted all the stuff she kept. But anyway, she was really good about saying before she passed away, what are the things you want? So we make sure, you know, you get what you want. And frankly, there wasn't a lot. You know how it is. You keep a few things. But when I think back about what you did, Patricia, I wish my parents had done that. I can't go back to my childhood right now. I don't have anything that I can think of at home that really reflects my childhood. I did stumble across I think it was sixth grade, my grades. And that was depressing. But other than that, my mom didn't save that kind of stuff, and I wish she had. It would have been, of course, Donna's listening, my wife Donna's saying, oh yeah, that's all we need is now a file drawer of everything had from kindergarten on. But, you know, some of that stuff I think is important. I think to be able to even go back, even as an adult, and reflect on some of those things. So I think that's a really good idea, Patricia, to, if not everything, at least some of it. So the later on, you have a child, like you said, that's not sentimental. They can toss it. And the other one might say, thanks, Mom, for keeping that for me.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's a good idea.
So, and, you know, and they we are pretty organized because I'm almost OCD, and the one that throws everything away is OCD. But you have to learn how to mentally break things down.
Right.
So you don't get overwhelmed. Like, my husband died 2 years ago.
Mm.
Well, I put all this stuff in the garage, and I couldn't get rid of it, and you cannot walk through the garage. Well, I said to myself, Lord, you know, let me get through this. And he gave me the answers. And now I'm able to go through and do one corner at a time.
Learning to let go, which is not easy.
Because I departmentalized it.
Yeah.
Mentally.
Mm-hmm.
So I could deal with going through and getting rid of my husband's things.
Mm. You know, I don't think we talk about some of these things that are meaningful enough. The objects have meaning to us, in lots of ways. In our faith, there's things that have meaning to us, and in our families and so on. But learning to see that really the only things that will ultimately remain are people and God's word, and that's it. That helps us clarify what is important to hang on to, the physical things, and what are things we can let go of. All right, very, very good. Thank you, Patricia. Appreciate your call. We're talking about clutter today and how to declutter your life and be intentional.
What is the greatest threat to your peace and happiness today? Many things in life pose unique threats and can easily get out of control. That's why it's best to deal with them while they're small and manageable. During our spring fundraiser, will you support the Ministry of Intentional Living? Give right now, and you'll receive Dr. Randy's teaching titled, Your Personal Threat Assessment, where he provides inspiration that will prepare you for the threats you'll face in your life. Give $30 a month or more, or a special gift of $360. When you give, you'll get the teaching and other intentional living tools sent directly to your inbox each month, along with this month's exclusive offer of the Intentional Living Chronological Bible. This special Bible orders the books, chapters, and verses as they actually happened. Your continuing support helps people live intentional lives for Christ in a world that often threatens their peace and happiness. Give right now by calling 888-888-1717 today or visit theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com.
Hey, thank you, Kurt, for that reminder during this very, very special week and next week. As people have been calling, and we appreciate hearing the phone ring and getting a chance to talk to friends and hearing testimonies, sure. Your testimony, maybe tell the operator why you're calling. You have a prayer request. We'd love to hear that as well. But the phone's being held this week for those of you who are stepping up and wanting to be a part of the Intentional Living family of support. And you can call, of course, at 888-888-1717 anytime they're taking calls. 888-888-1717. Or safe and securely at our website anytime as well at theintentionallife.com. That's theintentionallife.com, and your support is making a difference. I just want to say thank you in advance. You know, we've been talking about decluttering your life, and I joked at the beginning in my disclaimer, because I know from personal experience how important this topic is. And it's not only the stuff. I know that can be a really frustrating, sometimes a serious problem in people's lives, creating havoc and disorganization and missing things that are important. But sometimes, as we've talked today, the clutter can be in our minds. It can be in a relationship. It can be in our schedules. And understanding that clutter is something that Satan will camp around in a very powerful and negative way in our life. So I hope that you'll be motivated today to think about one thing you could do over the next 30 days to help declutter your life just a little bit. All right, Cheryl has an idea in Kansas. She wanted to weigh in with us. And it sounds like a pretty practical idea to me. So, Cheryl, welcome to the show. Go right ahead.
Okay. Well, I saw this somewhere, and I've been trying to do it, but it says, it's don't put it down, put it away. And like when I fold up laundry and I'll take it to the bedroom and lay it on the bed, and I'll tell myself, oh, don't put it down, put it away. So then I put it in the drawer. And it has helped a lot, you know, just doing that. And then another thing I do is I have files. You were talking about if you have a piece of paper and you might use it later, if you don't scan it or something, you know, I just have like some recipe files for different kinds of recipes. And if most of them are on Pinterest, but if they're not, you know, I just keep them. And I have like travel and, you know, a few things. And then every few years I go through them and, you know, throw them away or something.
Yeah,
you know,
I think that's a good idea. We should have a national clean up your house and your clutter day every year. That would be a bad day, a national holiday. Let's clean up our clutter. Let's go through the stuff mentally and physically and otherwise in our lives. I think that would be a good thing to do. Hey, listen, you know, those of you who support the ministry, again, I just want to say thanks, because when we hear stories like Jesse's, it makes it as a way of saying thank you for allowing us to do this every day.
Hey, this is Jesse. I just tuned in and I've been listening for a few minutes now. It's kind of wild how God works in someone's life. I was listening to your show on friends outside of the marriage, and it's really heavy on my heart. There's this girl at work, and we share so much in common, and laugh and joke all the time, and I really question whether or not I should stay in my marriage because of the feelings I have for this girl, and this girl has the same feelings for me. It's been heavy on my heart, and I've been wanting to talk to God about it, and I've been praying, like, God, what am I supposed to do about it? It's kind of funny your show came on, and I just turned on the radio, and you guys saved me. Your show had absolutely just made me say, no, that was an exact answer from God, black and white. I need to just drop this because it's not good. I love my wife. My wife's done nothing wrong to deserve any of this.
And I'll tell you what, man, if you followed through with that decision, you changed your life. You changed the trajectory of your future. If you didn't, you likely changed the trajectory of your future in a way that you didn't want to. You know, today we've been focusing on decluttering our life, and maybe you need to declutter by a relationship that needs to be dropped or changed. Maybe it's your schedule, your time, whatever it may be, but you recognize that some clutter needs to go. There are four basic principles of intentional living. Making a decision, doing the next right one thing, the power of one thing. Then this day, this topic, decluttering those things that are holding you back. And then for me, I think we really wrap it up by a lot of gratitude, thanking God, giving Him the glory. And boy, when we do that intentionally, it can change our lives. Thank you for your calls and your comments. You're welcome to share yours as well at 888-888-1717. Got to run. Thanks for being a part of Intentional Living.